Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined by two guests today, Melissa and Tasha, who are here to speak with us about their experience with recording and listening training, specifically the six-week class curriculum. Welcome, Tasha and Melissa.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can, Tasha.
Great.
Let's see if Melissa is with us. Hi, Melissa.
Great to be here.
This is so fun to have both of you on. So maybe what we could do is have Melissa, if you want to start us off and just tell us a little bit about your experience of the class and maybe not giving away any of the particular exercises, but anything else you want to talk about.
Yeah. I just had such a great deepening experience with the class, and it was actually the second time that I had taken the class, and the first time I took it, I was having a lot of resistance and challenge with the listening part of recording and listening, and was talking about that in the class, and the second time I took the class, I really have had just such a huge breakthrough with that listening part and really kind of experiencing on a deeper level what's intended there, I think what's intended, and how powerful it can be.
Yeah. How powerful it can be, and how powerful it can be to really stick with something. You know, you take the class, and you notice this resistance to listening. And, you know, you've been doing awareness practice for a while, so, you know, you kind of get a sense, oh, maybe I should take it again and keep going with that, right? That's what happens, right? We kind of just stick with it. We don't get turned off by that resistance. Instead, we hang in there. And, wow, what's on the other side for us? Just really, really powerful.
Yeah, because the resistance is actually kind of a big red arrow that there's something really juicy here. If you can get through this, there's going to be something really, really delicious on the other side. And in this case, that's definitely been my experience.
Boy, that's so fun. I imagine that's something great to record and listen to, that experience, that resistance is actually a big red arrow that says, boy, there is something juicy here. I'm going to go for it. Because we forget that, don't we? Even though you're really clear right now, that's one of those things recording and listening can really help us with. Oh, wait, resistance means keep going, stick with it.
Right. And when it's, you know, when it seems like it's fresh content or content that you just haven't gotten to the place that you're ready to cross that bridge, then it seems like a stop sign. But when you're ready with that particular piece of content, it's such a green light.
Wow, such a green light. And did you, we want to switch the pot here in a couple minutes, but did you want to say anything else about that place of the listening and what you saw in the listening aspect?
Yeah, it actually happened during class where we had an exercise where we really focused on the listening piece, and it was kind of described in more detail as that place of compassionate listening. And I was just really moved to tears, actually, listening to the struggle that I had just recorded and the struggle that I was going through, and really was able to arrive at that place of feeling for that person and at the same time, you know, really believing in them, but not really believing in the problem. Because from center, that problem isn't a problem. That person is adequate to that. And it's such a shift in perspective from the place of the person who does the recording. I mean, it's just night and day. And so to really appreciate that listening, that act of listening can actually help us make the movement to center.
That's so huge, isn't it?
Yeah, it's huge. Really huge.
That active listening can move us to that place of center. And again, we can see why there's the resistance. You know, it moves you to tears. And you can see the person and see that there actually isn't a problem. And you can see the adequacy. And it just, like you said, brings you right to that place of clarity and compassion and presence. Wow.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Pasha, do you want to let us know about your experience?
Yes. So this was my first time taking a class, but I'm just taking a note that I can take this class again. So this is just a great idea just dropped in. And I also noticed the resistance, as conditioned voices would say, oh, yeah, I've been doing recording and listening, you know, for a while now. I know how to do it. I don't need a class. So there was a sign that I actually want to take a class.
Yeah, it's kind of that similar theme of, oh,
yes.
Okay, therefore, I think I want to take the class then. Thanks for pointing that out to me. Got it.
Yeah. And I discovered so many new things that that's kind of refreshing and new, and the whole structure of a class is it's now looking back, I see that it's quite substantial on itself, the recording and listening, like what you would think. Oh, it's just two things, you know, recording and listening. But the way to do it and how to do it, it's broken down in such doable steps, and it's kind of addressing everybody and including, and it becomes like manageable practice. I remember.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you for that, Pasha. So, you know, we can look and go, well, there's two things. There's recording and listening. But it's actually a skill that we need to practice. And I like what you said, that it's broken down so that we can actually learn those skills. And it becomes something manageable. And it sounds like something that you were, wow, I kind of thought I knew recording and listening, and there's kind of all of these fresh, new experiences with this tool that I hadn't had before.
Yes. It's overwhelming to start with, like, oh, yeah, I have to do recording and listening and every day, and it's kind of like shocking for the system. But when it's broken down in the small steps, assignments, then these assignments I can do, and it's a simple, it's clear, it's a small step, and then another small step, and another small step, and wow, in 6 weeks, you know, we've done the whole curriculum of so many exercises, and those exercises brought up so much content and so much depth to that content that is just unimaginable from the beginning.
Wow, there was a lot in that, Pasha. But that place, it sounds like, because, you know, Pasha, you've been practicing a long time, and that this would be perfect for somebody who's been practicing a long time or is a complete beginner. That place, I mean, it just sounds so kind how you describe it, that it's just one step at a time. It's like, okay, well, how do I do this? Okay, well, how about this assignment? Okay, and it sounds like doing it together as well, you know, especially in that class format. You have that structure, you said, and you have that support. And as you were saying, you know, we can apply our content, any content to this tool, and you just saw it through those 6 weeks, just the depth of what you got to see and the content that you were looking at.
Yes, exactly. Just having 6 weeks and classes with Sangha, with a coach, with somebody who is guiding us through that experience, it's already a huge deal of participating and being present and being together. It's already an experience of itself. But not only that, it also trains me and helps me to kind of review what is it this practice entails. You know, what kinds of recordings to do and when to do that and how to include it into a daily schedule and so many things around this practice that makes it practical, not just I should do, but it's after 6 weeks, it got me rolling with it, and now I still get those reminders about the class assignments, but now those reminders serves me is to continue the practice, and uh-huh. I can do it.
Yes, yeah, you can do it, and there's the support to do it, and just seeing you know all those benefits of learning the tool, how practical it is, getting some support to do that, and then there's just the experience that we all love with practice, which is just participating and being guided and having that experience too. Wow.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much, Pasha.
Uh-huh. Oh, just one last thing is the another benefit I'm experiencing now, unexpected, is all those recordings we created during the class, made from that deep place where we reach. Now, when I listen to them, it's like somebody is taking care of Pasha, something him. Kind of one step at a time, and those are invaluable.
Wow.
Thank you.
Well, Pasha, thank you so much. And if you are interested in, taking the class again, I have some insider information that the next class will be starting up the first week in June, and that should be posted to the website and an email coming out shortly.
Great.
So for you and other people who are interested, check it out. And I think also people can look on the website under the 2017 programs and find information there, and you can email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org.
Great.
So thank you again, Melissa. And thank you. Good. Awesome. Thanks again, Pasha.
Thank you.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
Okay, Michael, we'll turn the show over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Scott and Pasha and Melissa. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. Really, really well. I just had one of those, wow, I love practice moments. So as you know, because I tell everybody who stands still long enough for me to tell them, I'm in an email class, and and I was sitting here at the computer, so immersed in this class, just immersed gives a good picture of it, and it just came in with this rather loud, kind of get through the immersion message. It's Tuesday. I thought, oh my goodness, without that, I would have just typed along here until probably a few people would have texted me actually to say, where are you? But I was so grateful that, life just dropped it in that now's the time to stop that and turn attention to this. I just love it. I always feel so cared for and supported in those moments,
Yes.
I know you know.
Yes. Yes. And it sounds like it came through with the appropriate intensity to get your attention out of that immersion.
Yes.
Yeah, it was good.
Lovely.
Love it. Mm-hmm,
love
mm-hmm.
it.
You have some announcements?
I do. Speaking of that email class, if you have a favorite quote from Sherry's responses in the Socratic email class, we would like to invite you to share it with Sangha. Please direct the quote to peacequotes@livingcompassion.org so it can be sent out to Sangha through the Daily Peace Quotes program.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Virtual meditation groups are a unique way to enjoy the support and connection of meditating with Sangha. These conference call meditation sessions include a 30-minute sit followed by the practice focus for the day. A new group time is being added starting May 1st. And for a full schedule of virtual groups, please visit the Virtual Meditation Groups webpage.
Grand.
Yes, grand. The process of fear is how our life energy is used by ego to maintain the ego. Join Sherry and Ashwini in a powerful experience of going beyond the limits of fear at the Transcending Fear Retreat, May 15th through 20th in North Carolina. It's time to break free of the control imposed by egocentric karmic conditioning / self-hate and to practice life's joy.
Yes, indeed it is.
Yes, indeed it is. And once again, we have...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you first.
Well, I just wrote to somebody that if I could visit the home of everyone in the email class, what I would arrive with the message, pick up the pace. Because the temptation... There's been so many people with just extraordinary insights and breakthroughs and all like that. And the you know, then ego wants to come in and say, "Whoo! Oh, wow, that was great. Let's take a little break now." Right? Now you've worked really hard. You need a rest here. And actually, you know, it's the time to get on that schedule and find out what is the next thing you can do. And of course, I'm hoping for so many people that's come on retreat because, as I'm fond of pointing out, as powerful as these things are, there's just nothing like being together with Sangha on retreat. It just takes everything up a whole bunch of notches. So, there are just so many things possible for us so that we can keep that focus every single day. Because if we don't, we know what's there waiting to just us right back down into unhappiness and suffering. We don't want that.
Yes, exactly. And we have a couple of those retreat opportunities coming up soon.
We do. And we absolutely do.
Yep, and here's another one. Once again, we have the opportunity to practice tuning to life's rhythms as we take care of our spiritual home at the Seasons of Joy Summer Retreat, May 30th through June 4th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. This retreat will provide training in using simple physical activity to cultivate a joyful presence and expanded awareness that makes ordinary life extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. We come out of a retreat like that excited to do chores. Our houses are just so delighted with our attitude.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And for the courageous work of ending self-hate and finding compassion for yourself and others, register soon for the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, June 10th through 17th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This foundational retreat is perfect for awareness practice beginners as well as experienced practitioners. And for these and other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a 5-minute conversation focused on one topic is great. Okay, Sherry, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
There must be somebody who wants to talk to us.
There we go. You are now.
There we hear somebody.
Hello. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
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 Yeah, hi. This is Art. It's Art in Annapolis. Hi. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Art.
Hi, Michael. My wife's here.
What's going on?
And, yeah, my wife's here, and we're both recording and listening. And we're having fun, and we're finding. I guess I'll say I'm noticing that it's really fun to record and listen with my wife.
Yes, it's not just a practice for one, is it? In fact, I was just talking with somebody yesterday. They have it's a family situation. One of their children is extremely ill in a very much in a life-threatening circumstance. And we were talking about how to use recording and listening as a family. Yep. All of the ways that we can do that from, very light, fun, laughter sorts of things to really difficult subjects to talk about that we can use the recording
word.
And listening. Pardon me?
We have a code word as of
which is?
When something's starting to get dramatic and we want to switch to opera mode, it's pizza. So do you remember that? So we'll try to having a rotini for dinner tonight, and I was like, "Oh, rotini's an Italian word," and so I sang that in my opera voice.
Right, and so that's code for you to reel it back from ego.
That's right.
From that operatic melodrama that ego can get into.
Right. So we start singing whatever we're thinking.
Oh, very good.
But that was all your tip. You know, we got that from you.
Well, lovely. I'm going to try it mymyself. All right.
Anyhow,
well, is there more?
So, Sherry, this is Chrissy.
This is, what is your name?
My name's Chrissy.
Chrissy. Hi, Chrissy.
Hi. And I've learned so much from the archives, and I probably listen to a show, I don't know, every day or every other day, gardening or going to the gym or doing whatever. And Art and I were talking about a retreat, and the question came up for us around, what is it with, if there is a rule around couples, and what are your thoughts about that? And
we definitely have guidelines about couples. And what we ask couples to do is, even if they arrive as a couple, once they get there, they are individuals. And they keep the privileged environment. Do you know what that is? What I mean by that?
No, please. Yep.
Okay.
I'm a newcomer.
Because You're not the only one, I'm sure. I realized that as soon as I said it. So when people are on retreat with us, it's a silent retreat, and people are asked to practice custody of the eyes, which means we don't look at one another. We don't interact with one another. We don't engage at all. We are just completely inwardly focused. So with couples, of course, that can be very tricky. With most people, it's fairly easy to do after the initial, oh, goodness, this is weird. But it quickly becomes comfortable because you don't have to be sensitive to anybody. You know, you don't have to smile and say hi and answer how are you. So you're just really free to be however it is that you are in the moment. And we're all there together, so it feels very safe and protected to be doing this inward deep work, but we don't have to be social. And with couples, that can be difficult because there's that sensitivity to one another. You know, there's always the check on how's he doing, how's she doing, you know, are you okay? And you don't want to ignore the other person because they might, you know, all of those kinds of things. So it can take sometimes quite a bit of discipline to really leave the other person alone. And that's what we ask while people are there, whatever their relationship. And because we'll have, you know, parents and children and siblings and all kinds of people, friends, best friends, will come on retreat together. And so the request is the same for everybody. And the only place that we ask people to explore together is, does it feel like you can be truly yourself and truly honest if I'm there? And and if you can, then that's great. You know, you're all set. If not, then it's probably better for people to go on retreat as an individual, and then, you know, bring the expansiveness of the retreat back to the relationship, but let it be something that each person does for her or himself.
Great. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're still processing, so we're waiting for, life to unfold with our children. So we'll know more later. And so it's on our radar, and we think it would be really important to take our practice up to the next step and to learn more. And because it's hard to process all the chaos, you know, daily in the, right? I mean, we live in Annapolis, so we're right here with Washington, and it's just a lot. So
those are synonyms right now, right? Washington and chaos.
And we're going down to the march this weekend, and you know, we're doing a lot of marching and a lot of advocating, and you know, so we're finding peace in being able to record and listen, which is what Art was just talking about, and your shows and listening to our own recordings, and then also trying to stay present to, you know, sort of our way to support, you know, change. So we're trying
And then everything else is going on, right? You still have kids and jobs and houses bills and everything else that's happening. So it's quite a juggling feat, and it's really important that we have every tool we can get our hands on to stay present, because it's exactly the and not that it's not always the time, but for so many people now is an even more fertile opportunity for ego to come in and distract and upset and separate and do all of those things that it does so well. So it's an important time to practice.
Yeah.
Because that's what we want for the world, right?
Right.
That's it more than a lot of times, the importance of being what we want for the world. We really see the importance of that.
Well, and we feel like there's an urgency to this now, mm-hmm. for unconditional mm-hmm. love, when, you know, mm-hmm. we have a bunch of young adults, and, you know, when they turn 26 with all their chronic illnesses, you know, we need to make sure that they can be okay, because we can't protect them. Mm-hmm. And so there's this sort of frantic urgency that's going on, even with our own health. I mean, we have Lyme's disease because we live here on the East Coast. I mean, it's a really chaotic yeah. time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 Which, there's a way in which it's very good, because mm-hmm. we are being required to do what we know we've known for a long time we need to do, and a lot of people put things off, is very human, because it's not an emergency right now. And then when it gets to be an emergency, thank God we have the tools, the wherewithal to face what is now obviously unavoidable. So
right.
In that sense, it's very good.
It's good language. Yeah.
Yeah. So. All right.
Wow.
Well, I'm hoping to get
cool.
to see yeah. the two of you before long, and I'll think of you singing your way through through
through
ego
the
shenanigans. Yeah, that's very good. Italian
you,
food will never be the same.
Right.
Thank you,
Michael,
you.
For everything you guys do. It's amazing. Thank
oh,
you.
Oh,
so much.
It's our pleasure. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us, Art and Chrissy. That
How
was
fun was that?
Fun sharing. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
It was great. Enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that conversation because it really brings into the conversation what's going on for a lot of folks, but ego manages to keep it in the background. And that's that process of how to be what we want for the world. You know, so often self-hate just has people focused on how am I going to survive the self-hate? And now to you know, for it to move into this larger arena of it's not just how I am with me, it's not just how I am with people close to me, it's really how I want to be for the world at large. So it's an important spiritual conversation.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes, definitely. And we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Janice from Vancouver.
Well, hello.
Hi, Janice.
Hi there. Oh, I have to say that I feel like I've had about 10 cups of coffee. I've not. and it's sort of like deep gassho for all of the practices, so the email class, and of course Project Joy, and I'm hoping to come to the retreat if everything lines up at the end of May, and we'll see how that goes. But I wanted to talk about the process of taking some little simple thing, like in the email, the Socratic email, I just chose something simple. I chose, and you suggested just pick one small project. And with that project, it has just led me to so many places in my life that there had been so much resistance, because basically it's the same process.
Yes. Isn't that great? That's why, right? So I just have to stop and underline what you're saying, okay? So we're going to do something like a Socratic email class, and so you could pick an issue. And ego, of course, conditioning, wants people to pick the very biggest, hairiest, most gnarly thing that has ever existed in their life. Let's take that on. And, of course, there's so much upset and trauma and fear and everything else around it that it's not going to go anywhere, right? I mean, the odds of any clarity around that at all are zip to zilch, right? But if you pick some little teeny tiny thing, how you do anything is how you do everything. So you pick this little insignificant ego's, oh, you're that, sure. You're going to spend a whole email class on that. But if you do, and you really stay with it, and you see the process that does that, that maintains that, you'll see your whole life, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So it kind of like just started with like a simple surface to keep pristine. And I would say, you know, this is one of these 180,000 past life karmas that I have. So it's not that
at least.
Easy.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And bringing unconditional love to it, it's just that there's nothing wrong, that this happens, but I've suffered enough over moving things around or, you know, whatever it is, clutter.
Right.
And,
Let's call it by its name.
Yes. I have suffered enough, and everything that has its story and memory and this and that and everything, it's all served me, and most of it doesn't anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, again,
underlining it, that you finally get to this point of having suffered enough with this. And before we get to that point, it's a should. When we get to the point of having suffered enough, it's a want to. That makes all the difference.
Yes, and dropping the shame. Because actually, I have no idea if anybody else has any judgment about it, but it's just that's a story in my mind that is it's debilitating to do anything about it when I'm caught in that distraction or conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that's a perfect combination, isn't it? You have this issue. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything about it, and you have to live in self-hate about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's ego's dream come true. you're stuck. You have no choice. You have to be ashamed of that.
Yes. So I would like to say thank you so much for the practice that is now ego's nightmare come true. And that's tossing a coin when there's some little thing to do, like around anything like that. Do I put it here or there or whatever, or keep it or whatever? Just toss a coin. End of conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think where you got to with this, at least this was my projection, is that you've realized the importance of it with not little things.
Oh, yes.
Right? That we can do it with anything. And talk about a fast trip to seeing what conditioning is up to.
Yes.
Right? Because when we're here and present with life, we flip a coin and, no, it's tails. I'm not doing that, or I'm not getting that, or I'm not whatever it is. And conditioning just goes nuts. And that's based on that ability to do that is based on realizing that I can only be as happy as I can be. I'm not going to be happier if I go there and do that and have that and buy that and
no, it's not really true. I'll still only be as happy as I can be. Now, if I'm being happy when I go there, do that, get that, buy that, then I'll be happy. If I'm not, I won't. It has nothing to do with that. So I might as well just flip a coin and
yes.
and prove to myself that I can be as happy as I can be with whatever.
Yes.
And I'm free.
Yeah. And it's the mm-hmm. it's the simplicity of that, which mm-hmm. is giving me more direct experience of feeling that simplicity has freed up all that energy.
Simplicity, the joyous, and the practical guide.
That's it. That's my mantra.
Yeah.
Yep. How can it be that? And so, yeah. Uh-huh. So the culmination is that there was actually a realtor came to our house that we invited, and we're looking at, you know what? We don't need this. We don't need the maintenance of this. We don't need that. And let's just simplify one step at a time. So not getting overwhelmed or noticing if there's overwhelm. Where is it in the body? Oh, it's just this energy.
These 10 cups of coffee that I didn't drink but feel like I did.
Yeah. yeah. So
all excitement.
It is. It's wonderful. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. It's a pleasure.
And thanks to everybody who's all behind the scene for all the practice things and all, phoning in and contributing with their insights. It's fabulous.
Yeah, it is fabulous. You know, I'm in this position where I get a lot of attention for stuff, right? I'm out there in front. But I'm only able to do that because there are dozens of people doing all kinds of things that make all of this happen. And when we get into something like Project Joy or the email class, we're talking hundreds of people who are making all of this happen. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Let's hear it for Sangha.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Janice.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. And thank you, Sherry. That was a great reminder of all of us making all of this happen. It's great.
Oh, yeah. And it's true. You know, a lot of the conversations happen one-on-one like that. So it can seem like, well, that's just it, you and me, Michael, and whoever's on the phone. But then we've got Pasha and Scott, and we've got the folks at the monastery, and then we've got all, and it just moves out to everyone who is doing this practice in so many ways all over the world. It's just thrilling.
Thrilling, that's a good word. That's
mm-hmm.
great. Yes.
Yeah.
And Sherry, we are going to hear from our coaching program, and then we will be back to talk with more callers.
Talk about, now here's another group, right? Here's another place
yes.
it is, right? We've got all these coaches, these RL trainers, facilitators, stewards. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, we'll be right back.
All right.
Having emptied our teacups in 2016, we are now embodying joy in 2017. Joy is our experience of presence. Availing ourselves of all the support we can as we undertake Project Joy is both wise and kind. Zen Awareness Coaching is just such a support. Through weekly calls, email check-ins, and focused practice commitments, we practice with any life content to see how we are caused to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. Zen awareness coaches are trained and guided by Sherry Huber. They offer coaching as a way to deepen their own practice and support the monastery through regular donations. To request a Zen awareness coach, visit livingcompassion.org. Click on Participate to find Zen awareness coaching. Make 2017 a year of great love and joy.
And welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here. Sherry, are you there?
Oh, sorry, I was muted.
That's all right.
Oh, yes.
Okay, here we go.
I'm ready. I'm ready, Michael. I'm here. I'm ready.
Next caller. Let's see. Are you unmuted? Oh, yes. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. Can you hear me? This is Beth from Denver.
Yes. Hi, Beth.
We can hear you. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for asking.
Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Well, I am just so resonating with much of this conversation. What I'm seeing is is this place of working with the process of moving. And
uh-huh.
The process of moving, you know, so many stories drop in around it about how challenging it is, how difficult, how, you know, oh my God, this whole house and, or what, you know, whatever. And so I just, you know, as I was doing part of my moving process today, which was to just to take one section of a closet to just kind of go through it and see what would I want to take, what do I want to leave here, and what do I want to get rid of. And
uh-huh.
I made a very big, deep gesho for coming to the monastery and doing working meditation.
Because yes, I'm right there.
Yeah, because it struck me how that taught me to approach this task, one, from a whole-minded, this is all I'm doing right now. And
mm-hmm.
you know how at the monastery, you're given a task, and sometimes it feels like there's no way I'm going to finish this in the time that's being given to me. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, conditioning wants to make all sorts of, you know, stories and excuses and hurries and urgencies and all of that. Except that at the monastery, you know, if you don't finish it, you just put your stuff away and there's time to come back to it or not.
Or somebody else will do it or it'll never get done or none of that is the point.
Right. And there's nothing wrong. There's just simply nothing wrong. And so I realized, and the whole idea of working meditation being a structured time period. So it was like I had mentally, you know, in my mind, okay, I want to start by X amount of time and I'll work up until I have to leave to go to an appointment. And that is so freeing too, because then the overwhelm of looking at the entire house and like what I have to do to get it ready to move just doesn't take over.
Yeah. It gets nicely chunked down into little sections that are manageable and enable a person to focus on how instead of what.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's just a real place of being with the task for the amount of time that the task is the task that needs to be done. And then once that's over, it's not the obsessing of, oh, I didn't get enough done, or I should have done this, or I need to go, you know, or the jockeying. It feels like,
uh-huh.
you know, just a constant, you know, figuring it out and how to approach, as opposed to what I felt today, which was just, this is what I'm working on. Now I'm not working on it. Now I'm going to the appointment.
Yes, and we can add the element of this is what I'm enjoying now. This is what I'm enjoying now. This is what I'm enjoying now. Because if there isn't that element of the pressure and I've got to get it done and I got to get this out of the way so that I can get on to this other thing that's important, and I'm looking at it in terms of this whole house that I have to move, you know, this is just what I'm with now. And the being with is what makes it so enjoyable, right? So pleasurable.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, I was looking at pictures from, you know, a previous life, let's just put it that way. And, you know, and it was just like, wow, these are pictures from that previous life. And there wasn't a lot, there wasn't any, actually, it didn't feel like any karmic attachment to, you know, what am I going to do with this? And, oh, and I didn't go into big stories about, oh, why did that, you know, turn out the way that it did? And, you know, all of that. It was just like, oh, I really like this picture. Oh, I really like that picture. And the rest of them can go. Can just be
uh-huh.
let go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
because this is where we are now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's so helpful to keep in mind of, you know, not getting dragged into the nostalgia or the holding on to or the wanting to go back and make it different. It's just like, well, that's just done now. So,
well, you know, that's what you're pointing at. What you're pointing out to me, I was actually doing this little thing at the monastery last Thursday night, where imagine laser beams that are going out to everything that any of your senses encounter, right? So you're looking around, and everything that you see, there's this laser beam thing that goes to it, right? And then everything you hear and everything you feel, everything you smell, everything you taste, everything you touch, right? And I only say the laser beam because that gives an idea of the connection, right? So we could call it anything. You know, there's a string, a line, a whatever that goes out. But the really important thing is not that it goes out. It's that it comes back. So that tree reflects me, and that flower reflects me, and that bird reflects me, and that sky reflects me, and that, right? So everything is about me. All of these things are reinforcing me, saying, I'm real. I exist. I'm what matters. And what you're describing is looking at these things as themselves, not as a prop to bolster up Beth's identity. So if we're just here, then what would be the point of dragging all of these things around that are only there to prop up an artificial identity?
Wow. Excuse me. Wow. That is a tremendous way to have it reflected back and shared with me. That feels very much what was going on.
Yeah.
There were a couple of things that I said, okay, I'm not sure about these, but you know what? I'm going to remove them from the area of which I'm saying this is what I want to keep and just see how it feels to have them gone on. And if I really don't miss them, you know, by the time I'm going to move, then I've got my answer. It's almost like too. I don't have to answer right away. I don't have to make the decision right away, or I don't have to say yes. I've got to cut that off, or I've got to keep this. And even if there was something that I said, you know, I'm go ahead.
Well, I don't know is a perfectly fine answer.
Yeah. Yes. And to just live
it's not,
with
one, that,
it, you know, just
it's not
live.
One that we get to have very often, but it's a perfectly good one, right? Well, I don't know.
Right.
Now, of course, if you want to get crazy, you can take up Janice's practice, right? Well,
oh,
you just flip a coin.
That,
heads it goes with me, tails
that did
it
occur
goes
to me
somewhere
when
else. Right, and the ego's going, no! No! Where's the agonizing in that?
Yeah. I feel like that's, you know, the next step.
Right.
That's my, Yeah. Well, that's my next step level practice. But
yeah. Shall I go to Paris or not? Oh, I think I'll flip a coin. Oh, ego is just not ready for that kind of thing.
that just sent shockwaves through conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the thought of flipping a coin about going to Paris.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Important life decisions. So whether I keep this thing, if it's a small thing or not, okay, we can do that. But big life decisions? No. You've got to do pros and cons and make lists and agonize and interview people and get a lot of opinions and find experts. And it's got to be a lot of suffering over the big things in life.
Yeah, I'm starting to see that that's how I have done a lot of those decisions. And, where I am today is just much lighter, much simpler, as you were saying before, and just much happier.
Much happier, exactly. Yeah, because the spiritual principle behind what we're talking about is that ego gets us to believe that our happiness is related to content.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And once we break that connection, back to that getting that I can only be as happy as I can be, as soon as I get that, then that's what I'm going to go after. I'm going to go after the happy as I can be. And I'm going to quickly realize that those conversations, those attachments, those beliefs and assumptions are keeping me from that. Not getting this X, Y, or Z. That's not what's keeping me from it. Not feeling the certain, not being a, not, not, no, it's not all that. It's that attachment to ego that's keeping me from being as happy as I can be. And I'm not putting up with that anymore.
Oh, well, that just says the peace quote from today, where the very last sentence is, I've thought and thought, my way out of happiness a million times, and it's never, I could never do it into happiness. And that's it.
That's right.
The only thing
keeping
me from happiness.
Yeah. That was a good one, wasn't it?
That was really good.
I enjoyed that one. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Well, again, thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Gives new meaning to go happy, doesn't it?
It does. Go happy. Wherever you go, even if you stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's precisely. All right. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Beth and Sherry. Another helpful conversation. Flipping a coin is a great approach, huh?
It really is. Yeah. It's like that one that we used to play with. This one, this decision is A, and this one is B, and then the next one is A, and then the next one is B. And we just keep track of that. Anything we've got to decide about, we'll see, am I on A? Oh, no, I did A. So, okay, B. No, I'm not going. I want to take you out to dinner. Ah, oh, shoot, I'm on B. Nope, not going. Well, you have to make an exception this time. Somebody's going to take you out to dinner. Nope, we're on B. Waffling is never going to make me happy.
Yes. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara in Australia.
Well, hello. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, I just...
You're kind of in a coin-tossing proposition yourself, aren't you? Isn't that what we talked about last time?
Yeah, I've been noticing the discussion, listening to the discussion about coin tossing. My ego's been sort of just screaming about, are you not with this? You couldn't do that with this decision. Like, you've got to be kidding, not this one.
This is big.
This is different. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, there's actually been a bit of change around that. So it was very interesting to watch ego's process. You know, there's a bit flexibility has opened up, and what I saw, which was sort of incredible, was that when I got that information that I could have all this great big chunk of time extra to sort of take my time to see what I wanted to do, I expected to feel so great with that news, and I didn't. And I sort of afterwards I thought, so what happened then? And I could see that on some really subtle level, like almost immediately the conversation shifted to, oh no, now you've got all this lot, you know, you're going to have to sit with this indecision
yes.
for all this much yes. longer, like straight away.
Yeah. yeah. Didn't even wait a beat, right?
No.
Just,
no.
Wow, we're on this side of the duality, get new information, boom, we're on the other side of the duality.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it was, yeah, it was great to see that and to see that actually, you know, it feels good. The increased time feels right. It feels like there's things that I'm investigating here that I need some more time with. And, you know, it felt like a real gift. It was more than I would have ever
yeah.
expected. And, you know, it was like, oh, my
yeah.
God, this has just completely
yeah.
opened up. I'm so grateful for the email class to sort of help me get to that place of even asking for that possibility. Like, is this possible that this could, you know, is there flexibility here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And the biggest gift I would project is getting to see so clearly that scam. Right, because
yeah.
You've got to decide. You've got to decide. What are you going to do? You've got to decide. You've got to decide. You have to make up your mind. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And now you don't. And oh,
yeah.
Now you're just going to be in this indecision for, and to see that clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, do we want to indulge that conversation? Oh no. Because
yeah.
on the one side, it can feel so right in the sense of, well, it's true. I mean, I've got to make a decision, and I don't know what decision to make. So, you know, time is passing here. We're coming up onto the date. We're going to, you know, so it's believable. But then when we see it just jump to that other side, it's so obvious that, no, it's not about making that decision. It's about making you miserable.
Yeah. And it was also, yeah, there was also, when I looked more closely, it was also like, oh my God, you know, you just can't make a decision. What's wrong with you? Like, just, you know, you're just
yeah.
such a pathetic person that you, how much
yeah.
longer are you going to drag this out for? You've been blah, 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 blah. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
All roads lead to self-hate, right?
Yeah.
When we engage with conditioned mind, that's what we can know. The
yeah.
bottom line of all of it is there is something wrong with you.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
Not the
you
right
make a
person.
Decision, you don't, yeah, you don't make a decision, you don't know, you, I mean, it doesn't matter when you, you know, scratch just below the surface, that's the message. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. So, you know, the timing of that email class was sort of incredible, and I nearly got talked out of signing up to it, and I just, in listening today, like, I realized that process of being talked out of it was because it had a different format, and it was like right back to the beginning when I started doing email classes. It was like, oh, I'm not going to know how to do it, and, you know, I won't be able to do it properly, and I don't really know what it is, and, you know, I've just found it to be the best class I've ever done.
Well, and that's, again, that's such a perfect example of how we get hooked, right? Because all that stuff sounds right. well, that's really true. You know, you don't know how to do it. And you're probably not going to do it right, whatever the hell that means. So, you know, that voice that's in there talking to us, it's not saying things that we're not programmed to believe. But to start recognizing it for what it is, you know, that it's a con job. It's setting us up. So that's so huge to get to the point where we can recognize the tone of it. You know, that it's acting as if it cares about you and about your life, and that it wants something good for you. And if we can just start recognizing that campaign to just move us constantly into a place of believing. Nobody ever has to say it. We just know. There's just something wrong with me. You know, I'm not like other people. Other people are able to do this stuff. They don't struggle with this. You know, what is the matter with me?
Yeah. And, you know, with that process around seeing that flip in the duality, it wasn't screaming at me. I just felt sort of bad, and I noticed, like, this is weird. Like, I should, why am I feeling bad? I should be like, I was also sick, like I had stomach flu, so it could have been, that could have been part of it. But because of this practice, feeling bad, I know that's just like a red flag. It's like, okay, I feel bad. What am I being told? Like, what's the story here? And so then, really being able, it was subtle, but it was...
Oh, it's so subtle. And the thing that, this is the next place for folks to watch for, that feeling bad, what we call feeling bad, is the energy.
Yeah.
So it's that expression, the wind taken out of your sails, you know, that's it's the collapse of the energy as it's just being sucked out. And we're, you know, it's, oh no. And the, you know, you feel bad. And you're not supposed to be paying close enough attention to say, wait a minute, why am I feeling bad? I just got what I wanted. I can't be feeling bad now. You're not supposed to be present for that. You're just supposed to go right from one side of the duality to the other side of the duality to feeling bad.
Yeah. So clearly my ask now is to practice being as happy as I can be. And and I know that experience. And I, you know, in my other abode up in the country, when I was just really kind of trapped there, I was practicing that, and I know the truth of it. And and I can see how, you know, now that there's more, a bit more room for choice in my life, it's easy to kind of get lulled into a false sense of security or something, and not practice like my hair's on fire, you know, sort of like I was.
Yes, yes, yes. And that is so critical. Again, I just wrote that to somebody because she was talking about, you know, the distraction is there, the chatter is there, but it's not really causing suffering in the moment. Mm. And I said, okay, if your practice is deep enough that you can watch at that level, then it's deep enough to realize, yeah, you are suffering. Because every moment that we are caught up in the chatter and the distraction is a moment that we're not really alive. We're not noticing that we're not really alive. We're not. And part of that, so when I talk about that, you can only be as happy as you can be, and that you want to be that, right? Because that can only happen in the present. That can't happen when ego is there. So those are all code, kind of code for, you know, the Zen experience. And so realizing that if I am not as happy as I can be in this moment, then what I'm doing is giving my life over to ego. And then you get to ask the question, is, do I really want to do that? And of course, the answer is going to be, no, I actually don't want to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I am present, like, it doesn't really matter where I am physically, and and then almost immediately ego is going, but, you know, like, you've got to be kidding.
You've got to want something other than what you've got. You have to, because otherwise, how are you going to suffer? You know, how am I going to talk to you about what you're missing and, excuse me, what you're lacking and how it could be better? And, yeah, all this satisfaction thing is bad for ego.
So
but good for us.
So grateful. Thank you so much. So much.
Oh, thank you.
So much to go on with.
Yeah. It's thrilling. Thank you, Barbara.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. And what a privilege, Sherry, to talk to such wonderful people and to hear them over the years and practice deepening. It's an inspiration to me.
It is inspiring. Yeah, really is. It's thrilling. All right, well, I would love to play with you some more, but I'm going to go back to my email class, okay?
Yes. Well, thank you for that. I've been enjoying that a lot, as we've heard from everybody else tonight also. It's a great gift to us.
Yeah, good. Hang on. Sorry, I got myself all choked up there. I have to go cough now, Michael. So thank you very much. Thanks, everybody.
We'll talk
to you soon. Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.